We got to talk baseball. We have to talk baseball on a local level. And very first time here in the city of Farmington, we've got a new baseball team, the Farmington Frackers. They are a college baseball team, college-age kids who have just gotten done. Some of these players just gotten done with some Division I college baseball of their own. And starting up tomorrow at Ricketts Park, the first game of the 2017 Farmington Frackers season. Joining us in the studios this morning are three of the members of the coaching staff. But up first is the head coach of the Farmington Frackers, Jared Holley. Jared, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Steve.
Appreciate it a lot. All right, first things first, who was the most surprised when you found out that this team also had a namesake on the show, on IFC channel about the baseball announcer, and that team also being called the Frackers? Have you heard about this?
I've never heard about
okay,
it.
Okay, there's a show about a baseball announcer. It's not the most family-friendly show, but that team is also called the Frackers. And it was like a day after I heard of this team's name, and I thought, well, that's unfortunate.
Well, I actually really like the name. It has a good flow to it.
Absolutely, it does. What's the most difficult thing about putting together a team of players and coaches who, until just a few minutes ago, I just found out you haven't even had your first formal practice until today.
Yeah,
what's the hardest part of putting that kind of team together?
The hardest part is just getting all guys together and just making sure that they're all here, down, ready to play.
Jared Holley, the coach of the Farmington Frackers, give our listeners a little background on your career in baseball and how you came to be the head coach of the Frackers.
I played 4 years over at UNM, played for Coach B. After that, I just went straight into coaching, and now I'm here for the Frackers.
Talk about some of the players and how long they've had to adjust now to getting to Farmington. Some of them are just getting in today. Some of them just now getting in after their college baseball seasons. Talk about some of the players on this team that we're going to be hearing about this season.
Yeah, so Larry Leith is probably going to start for us. He's at a New Mexico junior college, just had a great season there. He's going to actually come play for the Lobos next year. And then Dan Herrera, he's going to be something special behind the plate. He just got done playing for the Lobos for us, and he had a pretty special year.
We're talking to Jared Holley here on First Sports on Fox AM 1340. We're also joined in the studio by the pitching Farmington Frackers, Alex DeAngelis. Alex, step on up to the mic here if you can for a second. We were talking about this just a minute ago off the air here about getting kids adjusted, getting players adjusted to being on a new team. And maybe it's better that most of these players are just recently wrapping up their seasons. That way they're not trying to get remotivated, trying to get themselves restarted again. And baseball is, again, to quote a movie, it's a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. So there's not really a lot that has to go into training these kids, these players, to get started.
Well, I mean, they've been playing baseball since they were 8 years old. So, I mean, that's definitely not a difficult thing. They all understand the basics of sort of simple signs and let's throw strikes and hit strikes and things like that. So I mean, sometimes it simplifies it where they just kind of show up. We have one practice and hey, here's what we're gonna do, here's the plan, let's just go out and compete and have some fun. And a lot of times that's a little bit more simple than the college game. Obviously, we were talking about there's so much time, analysis, practice, batting practice. I mean, you're getting a little bit over the top sometimes, I would say. So yeah, sometimes it works well when you just kind of get going and show and go.
Alex, what are you looking for as the pitching staff's concerned? I mean, when you're evaluating talent, what are some of the things you're looking for?
First and foremost, throw a ton of strikes. If you throw a lot of strikes, you got a chance to be successful on the mound. Probably second to that is what kind of off-speed stuff do you have? Can you throw a second pitch for a strike or a third pitch even? If you can throw three pitches for strikes, you have a chance to be a successful starting pitcher at any level. And you don't have to throw hard. You don't have to be a guy that throws 95 miles an hour or even 90 miles an hour. I'd look for strikes and a little bit of a mix of speeds and breaking pitches and things like that. But for the most part, if you can go out there and compete, and mainly that means throwing strikes for me. If you can go out and compete, you got a chance to pitch for me and be successful.
Alex DeAngelis joining us here in studio. You're the you're a volunteer coach of a Washington State University. Talk about the Pac-12 conference a little bit and baseball you've seen throughout this season with the Pac-12 conference and how it differentiates maybe with the Mountain West Conference out here and other conferences in the region.
Well, not having a ton of experience with the Mountain West, but the Pac-12 is a solid conference. I mean, we saw three starters every night that was going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that was going to be, you know, somewhere between 88 to 96, 97 miles an hour. And, you know, that obviously after – but the one thing to say about that is after 100 at-bats, I mean, hitters in the Pac-12, really no velocity would trouble them. I mean, balls that are flattened in the middle of the plate, even at 95, got hit hard. So, I mean, it was eye-opening at sometimes to see guys that were had absolutely no fear of, you know, close to 100 miles an hour with a breaking pitch. So it's there's a lot of impressive athletes in the Pac-12. Obviously, I think the Mountain West, you know, I really think baseball, the parity, it's all coming together. I mean, we played teams in the West Coast League. I mean, Loyola Marymount, Sac State, played teams like that, and they were equally just as good as some of the best teams in the Pac-12 and had talent just as good as well. So, I mean – It was a fun season. We struggled a little bit to get going, but we did have about a 5-week run in the pack where we won five straight series, I think. So it was a good season. We had, you know, we'll be better next year, but you know, it's a great conference, and I'm excited to be here in Farmington.
And we kick off closing weekend at Sunray Park and Casino. Just three more days of racing left to go and a very special event happening today and tomorrow out at Sunray Park and Casino. And with that in mind, we cut gears a little bit this morning. We don't normally do interviews in the first segment of the show, but a very special guest has given us some time this morning, and we're very happy to have him with us this morning. You know him as the trainer of Mind That Bird, the winner of the 2009 Kentucky Derby this afternoon and tomorrow. Mind That Bird's going to be on track, and Chip Woolley's going to be signing on autographs for fans all weekend long, and we appreciate him being with us this morning on the show. Chip, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
How's it going today?
I'm doing really well. Again, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning here on the show, and certainly looking forward to seeing Mind That Bird at Sunray Park and Casino this weekend. It's still got to bring back a lot of tremendous memories, everything that led up to the Triple Crown campaign of 2009.
Oh, certainly. It's good. Actually, having him back in the barn for a few days is kind of fun, you know, makes you miss all the things we did back then, you know.
How much of it, you know, when you see the movie 50-1, which was still such a tremendous accounting of all the things that went on, how much of that, you know, do you look back on and all the 2009 stuff, the traveling, the trailer, you on crutches at Churchill Downs, how much of that still, you know, holds such fond memories for you?
I can do without the memory of the crutches, but the rest of it was great, you know. It was quite an experience for somebody from back here like this. And this horse took us on just an unbelievable ride, you know, to see and do what we did. And, you know, he was the only horse to run 1, 2, 3 in the Triple Crown races for a spread of about 11 years from Smarty Jones all the way to American Pharoah. So, you know, he did some amazing things and took us along for the ride.
Chip Woolley joining us here on Fox. You mentioned how difficult his task was, winning the Derby, finishing second behind Rachel Alexandra in the Preakness Stakes, then finishing third in the Belmont Stakes. When you look back on it, and you've seen how difficult it is, obviously American Pharoah was able to go over the top in 2015, but over the last 2 years now, we've had a different winner in each of the last six Triple Crown races. Mm-hmm. You can speak on how difficult a task it is, not just to get a horse to the Derby, but to get a horse in the winner's circle in any of those three races.
Well, to get there in any one of them is an uphill task for sure. But to have a horse ride three times in a row in 5 weeks and be better than everybody else, even if you are better, you got to still get a better trip. And there's a lot of things that go into it more than just being the best horse, you know. And that's why it's such a rarity to see a Triple Crown winner, is because you have to be extremely better than everybody else. You can't just be a little bit the best. You got to be a lot the best to overcome what it takes to get there, you know. And Bird showed that he was in a class of his own through the Triple Crown, and it was quite an experience.
Chip Woolley joining us here on Fox. So talk about this weekend. Obviously, we're hoping to get Mind That Bird in for a couple of post parades this weekend. I know you'll be signing autographs throughout this weekend. Does that ever get old? I mean, when you get the, hey, this is Kentucky Derby winning trainer Mind That Bird, Chip Woolley, does that ever get old to you?
Well, it's great to see how the fans react to Mind That Bird and coming out to see him. You know, that's the most important thing. I think it's good for horse racing, and it's always enjoyable, you know. Who would have thought that it would last you know, nearly 10 years now. It's amazing how time flies by, but it's going by fast.
I still remember doing a paddock show a couple of days after the Kentucky Derby back in 2009 and introducing you as Kentucky Derby winning trainer Chip Willie, because we don't get that out here. Like you said, in the Four Corners of New Mexico, we don't get that very often.
Exactly. That's kind of a rarity. And you know, you just got to, in your lifetime, find a horse like this horse is, you know.
Chip, you got a horse running tomorrow in the fifth race here at Sunray Park and Casino as we get ready to wrap up the racing season here. Give us a little insight into Redhead Red, 7-2 on the morning line, running in tomorrow's fifth race.
Redhead Red's not going to be able to run, but the other filly, I have another filly in there named Moonlight Who, and it looks like she'll be really tough in there. She should be on the lead and a little bit hard to run down. She runs second or last out, and she's like 3-1 in there, I believe.
Yeah, 5-2 on the morning line, Moonlight Hill in tomorrow's fifth race. Talk about what you're looking forward to this weekend. Obviously, fans will be able to get autographs from you and hopefully maybe even get a photo op with the bird this weekend.
Sure, we're going to bring him up a couple of times today. He's going to go to the paddock, I think, for the third and eighth or something like that. And we're going to post parade him, and then we'll be around, sign autographs, take pictures with the fans, and hopefully, you know, we can't really let too much interaction, I guess. We mind that bird for fear of getting somebody hurt, but we'll have him in the winner's circle and people can come take pictures and that kind of stuff. It'll be a fun weekend. We got some really good racing on tap. So
absolutely.
So it'll be nice to have the fans out and have a good time.
Yeah, I got a couple of good stakes races coming up on Sunday and closing day Monday. The San Juan County Commissioner's handicap with Forest Mouse going to go as the favorite in that one. And what is his temperament like these days? I mean, he's a little older now. Obviously, we get a little older, we get a little saltier as we get older, Chip. So,
well, that's true with him. You know, when he was running, he was really a laid back, real professional horse. I mean, he didn't want to do anything but train and run. I mean, nowadays he's a little ornery, and he might try to take a hunk out of you if you don't watch him. He's just ornery and kind of loving life. He's happy, but I noticed nowadays, like when he comes and does this kind of stuff, because he used to being on the farm just taking it easy, he gets a little wound up. He kind of gets a little, he's wound a little tighter, I guess, than he was then. But back then, he was all about business.
Aren't we all a little bit? Yeah,
that's probably true, but I don't know.
I've been coming to this job for a little more than 14 years now. Every morning I get here, it seems like I get here earlier and earlier. I remember when I started doing this show years ago, I was doing an afternoon show. I'd get here at like 4:30, go on the air at 5. No prep work, no logic to anything I was doing. I didn't know the hell I was doing most of the time. Now with the morning show, over the last 12 years, get here earlier and earlier. And every morning I start off the morning usually about 4:15 with my boss, Dave Schaefer. We drink coffee, we yell and scream and talk crap about our favorite football teams, baseball teams, whatever. And you can hear the music of other stations. Yeah, occasionally I'll hear what's coming on Dog or what's coming up on Cool, because the studios are kind of conjoined like that. And over the last couple of weeks, Cool's been playing Christmas music. Generally speaking, I ignore Christmas music with every fiber of my being. I'm not a Christmas music fan. I prefer Hanukkah music. There's just not a lot of that. But I love music. I've been a music fan my entire life. I get that from my father. And this morning, Christmas song came on. I could hear it. My mind was going a million different directions. And a song called Home for the Holidays or I'll Be Home for Christmas comes on. And that was it. That was it. I was done. And I'm not a parent. I'm never going to be a parent. I'm cool with that. Kind of resigned myself to that. I think it's better for everybody. And there are only words at this point. It's not that there are no words. There are only words at this point to express the incredible amount of emotions that we all have right now as we get a little bit deeper into the workday, as we attempt to return to some normalcy, as we attempt to push back a little bit of the horrifying events of what occurred yesterday at Aztec High School. I said this earlier. I will repeat this again. I want to personally dedicate this show, sports talk at all the nonsense in sports and all of it, to the victims, Casey Jordan Marquez and Francisco Paco Fernandez. There's no way I'll ever be ever adequately able to express the sadness and sorrow that I feel for those two young, bright, shining stars that are no longer with us ever. And I also personally want to dedicate this show to the families and loved ones of everyone involved. There are victims everywhere, and they should not be overlooked at any point in time. And there are too many emotions and too many feelings to overcome. And so with that, I again, we open the phone lines, 325-8255, 325-TALK. The text lines at 505-330-2327, because we got to talk to people. We have to be able to express ourselves. You got to be able to grieve in whatever grieving fashion that is. And, you know, if it's not us, make it someone. One of our texters let us know earlier that, dear Steve, to the caller who doesn't know what to say, there are counseling support services available today at Kugler Middle School from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go over, talk to someone, talk to anybody, even if it's just to spew gibberish at this point. Look, gibberish works. You know, it sometimes is necessary. Do that. Do those things and begin the process, because the process is going to take however long it's going to take. There's no one's putting a stopwatch on you on this one. No one's putting a clock to your head and saying, hey, you've got 15 minutes. You've got 5 days. You've got 7 days. There's no textbook for any of this. So you take all the time you need. You want to chat. You want to chat in. You want to chime in. If you're angry, if you're sad, if you want to talk about Dallas Cowboys football, whatever it is, we're here for you this morning. It's my final show before I go on vacation, so it's your last chance to yell at me for like a week. And most people, I would think, would take that opportunity and run with it, but that's just me. I mean, I would take that opportunity if I knew I could. 9-11 right now. Again, your phone calls, 325-8255, 325-TALK, toll-free, 866-345-8255. Two things that I do want to touch on this morning, and it's been a big talking point on this show for the better part of a year now, and it's necessary to bring it up this morning. And it's a term that has become all the rage in media circles over the course of the last year or so. And that would be these two words.
Fake news.
Fake news. I spent 7 hours, 8 hours yesterday, almost 8 hours, in Aztec yesterday morning, afternoon. I spent 3 of those hours in spurts throughout the day debunking false theories, false facts, or another phrase,
alternative facts,
and just absolute garbage. I don't tell you how to run your social media page. You don't tell me how to run my social media page. That's the agreement we have. But man, you know, it'd be great if a lot of you people out there on social media took a journalism course once in a while before telling people who actually do journalism for a living how to do their jobs. That would be nice. You know how you have to have a license to drive a car? You have to have a license to own a gun. You have to have a license to own a car, all those things. You know, you got to have a license to have a dog. It'd be great. It would be absolutely just fan-flippin-tastic if all of you out there with social media accounts actually took a journalism course once in a while and could figure out the difference between lies and facts. Because the stuff that we were putting off yesterday, the stuff that we were having to debunk was unbelievable. And yes, there are things that we do not know. Hence, we didn't talk about them. Hence, we didn't post them. And that's the difference. You read something and then you're like, oh, that must be true without knowing who the source of that story is. It's like, if you're in my generation, you grew up watching a lot of television, there's the Nair commercial. And this person said so, and then two people said so, and then four people said so, and then eight people, 16, and then everyone started talking about it. And that's great when it's about something that's true and accurate and fair and complete. It's not when it's complete garbage. When it is a load of crap.
That is crap.
And you start spreading it around, and you not really sure it's crap, but you thought it might be true, and it sounds like it might be true, but you don't really have a basis to know if it's true. My colleague across the glass from me a long, long time ago told me a line about being in radio. The line is, just because there's a microphone in the room doesn't mean you're entitled to use it. Just because Facebook is a social media site doesn't mean you're equipped to be on it. Maybe you should think about that before you start posting crap.